Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to episode 193 of Born to be Wild, a wild and wild adjacent Hearthstone podcast, where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild and wild adjacent formats of Hearthstone, and spotlighting members of the wild community. I'm your host, Electric Sheep City. It's great to be back this beautiful Friday evening here in Colorado. And it was beautiful. I like straight up went into Boulder to like buy a vinyl album today. And it was glorious. Like I was just wearing short sleeves. Oh, incredible. Incredible. So I'm joined tonight by two of my favorite people, starting with Hydralisk HS. Hydra, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm a little jealous, I suppose. When I got off of work today, it decided to start doing this snow slash hail thing. I couldn't exactly tell which that it was, but it was coming down like crazy. So I was trying to like unpack stuff from the truck, get it in the house, and it was like absolute madness. And then I looked out the window maybe 30 minutes later after it had all happened, and there's this field across the street from my house, and it's just white, like completely white. Went and did some things. 10 minutes later, it was all gone. It was green again. The grass was green once again. So, I don't know. I guess I should be thankful for the water, and so will the farmers. But how are you doing? Shmoopy Daddy!
I'm doing good. It's starting to feel springy here in Orange County, New York. Pretty soon, as Shmoopy is excited to find out, we're going to be, you know, pulling spring onions, which are these little tiny little things out of the ground, and just chewing them in our yard. And it's a little bit muddy and it's a little bit wet and little piles of snow everywhere. But no, we're doing all right. We're doing good.
Cool. Good to hear. Well, for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs, and the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all podcast apps. However you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes, you.
Content plug. Shmoopy Daddy. Before we get into the main topic of the show, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Shakuna and the other patrons of our show. Your support means the world to us. If you enjoy this content, please like, subscribe, and comment on this video on YouTube. Another simple way to support the show is to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your podcast platform of choice. If you're watching live on Twitch, we've got some awesome emotes that you can unlock by subscribing to the channel. This is free if you use Amazon Prime. There are also emotes you can unlock completely free, just for following. Born to be Wild merch. Picture of my wife. Here's a link to the shop for our main website. Finally, if you'd like to support the show financially, you can join our Patreon for as little as $1 per month. We have channels in the Discord that are unlocked by subscribing to Patreon, where you can see the show coming together each week. Check it out. If you'd like to interact with us personally, please join our Discord, a free, amazing online community of friends all across the world who love talking about Wild Hearthstone. Links to all this stuff and more can be found on our website, which is www.borntobewildhs.com. How was your week, Sheep?
My week was pretty kicking rad. So Hydra and I got to guest with Tito Santana and Doc McButt on Bread and Butter, which is always a blast. I've done a lot of work this week. Work. My parents came and went last weekend, which is why I wasn't here last week. So thank y'all for carrying on in my absence. And then, of course, today, Twist is back, and I've been playing some Twist. I've twisted all the way up to Diamond 3, and then fell a little bit back down to Diamond 4, but did most of that before the show tonight. So now, hanging out, almost done with book three of The Expanse, Abaddon's Gate. Just about done with that thing. So now I'm just ready to talk some Hearthstone with my buddies. So Hydralisk HS, how was your week, friend?
My week was really, really good. So as you had mentioned, you and I had got on to Bread and Butter. That was a really fun experience going on with those guys. You've gone on before. This is my first time. So they did a bit of interview with me, which was cool. And then, it was just neat. Like, we've had Tito on here before. And then I've been around Doc McButt just in the community for quite some time. But it was fun to actually have a conversation with him as well. And, like, actually, you know, see someone face to face, have those conversations. So that was really neat. It was a good time. I appreciated it. So shout out to those guys. I, like you, did a little bit of reading. I had finished finally another book to add to the list. So The Adventures of Tom Sawyer is crossed off the list. It's one of those things that I just never read when I was younger when I should have. So it's done. I think I was mostly done it last week, but I crossed that one off. I was done. And then I began The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway. So it's his first novel, if I am stating that correctly. His first novel that he ever wrote. And I have had that book since I'm thinking I was like 22, something like that. I purchased it because I loved Hunter S. Thompson, and he always stated that Ernest Hemingway was one of the people that he looked up to and everything. So I went down this thing where I was like, oh, let's read all of Ernest Hemingway stuff. So I bought all his books and then just didn't read them. So,
so you've had them.
Yeah. And I found a box and I was like, oh, sweet. So I have it. Also, the audiobook is free on Audible as well. So that's cool. So I'm finally reading The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway. And so I've completed 5 books so far. And my goal is to get 33 plus. I'm a little scared because if you sort of do the math, I'm on track for about 30 books this year, which is a little shy. But I've got plenty of time to make that up. We've only gone through 2 months of the year. So I can make it work.
And of course, my goal for you is 44.
Yes, no pressure. Your goal for me is 44. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Maybe I can do it. We'll see what happens. And maybe go camping and bring some books camping. Now, my wife and I actually just booked a camping trip for the family coming up later this year in a couple months. So that'll be fun. I did play a bunch of Twist, though that format it's rotated out into a new format, but I was playing a lot of aggro druid, which was fun. I know that Sheep is, you know, the druid guy, and I have not been, so I felt like it was a good way to get some druid win. So I was doing that, and I had a lot of good times doing that. But now, yeah, Sheep.
Ironically, what I had the most success with in the last Twist meta was rogue, which you're the rogue guy, so it's just kind of ironic that we swapped.
It was kind of also too, where I was at, other people were playing I was seeing a lot of aggro druid mirrors. So mm-hmm. It was kind of like who could high roll or figure out how to trade or go face, put the other person on a clock, you know, like it sort of became this battle of who knows how to do it better sort of thing. And you could sort of, if you had a lot of reps, you could figure out how to win the mirror. So that was cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And then, of course, we have the new format, which we could talk about a little more later. Played some Zoo today. Not a lot, just a few games, like squeezed them in between after work and then when we started the show, and won a couple. So that was cool. I just wanted to see what was up. I faced only Warriors for some reason. So I guess that's a thing. Maybe they're trying to. Yeah.
A little bit of a thing.
Yeah. But we can talk about that more later. Shmoopy sure. Daddy, how was your week?
My week was good. My Shmoopy update is that we were bracing ourselves because, like, after coming off of a week basically on vacation, home with his dad, going to be a little bit off schedule, sending him into school. And sure enough, as his teacher said, listen, I'm prepared for the worst. And I understand that all my students are going to be off schedule today, but we'll get back in a rhythm. It's going to be okay, but I'll definitely be a little lenient for the morning. And he stood up on a table and called his classmates and his teachers butt cheese. But after that, he's had a fantastic week.
Butt cheese.
Butt cheese, yes. After that, he's had a fantastic week, and he's been very well behaved, and he's been sort of getting into a groove and being good at school. And that's the deal we made with the devil. Like, okay, just be good at school. If you wanna be a holy terror, you know, do it at home. So we're taking that.
That's cool.
We're accepting that. We're good with that. As far as Hearthstone goes, today's the first, which means I attempt to hit legend, and I did it. I came in at rank 68.
Hooray!
Only played wild today. Have not tried.
Hooray!
Have not tried twist yet. Might skip twist today and do twist tomorrow because I didn't really like classic. I liked parts of classic, but I think mostly what I liked about classic was beating up the bots in classic and not actually playing classic itself. So I might just pass up classic and like go for Naxx tomorrow. It's Naxx tomorrow?
Yeah, Naxx is tomorrow. Yeah. Undertaker is just going
to
be
maybe
incredible.
I just look for it. Maybe I just go like Face Hunter. Maybe I do Face Hunter like a little bit before I go to bed tonight. Like maybe while I'm watching One Piece, and then swap to just put in Undertaker tomorrow and just see how the deck changes. I don't know.
I would recommend Zoo over Face Hunter. Mm-hmm. It just has a better matchup into the field of what seems to be popular lately.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair. I'll probably play Hunter anyway because it's going to be like three games.
Fair.
But I totally get that. As far as matchups go today, I don't think we're going to get into big details about. I mean, my climb was very. I started with the priest deck that we highlighted with Hydra last week. Did well with that. Went like 14-5. Started seeing a lot of arena mages and a lot of quest mage, and I was like, I really just want to hit them in the face. So I swapped to stuff that hits them in the face. I played some Pirate Rogue. I played some Shadow Priest. And then post D5, did my thing where I was just like, all right, let me play Odin Warrior, farm some aggro, and go from there. And I'd say, like, I'd have to go back and look, but I'd say the mix was something like 60-40 aggro control, leaning towards aggro, which was wild. Hmm. What is wild? But I faced a fair number of control mirrors, and I was auto conceding into quest mages. So like I ended with a record of 27-12 with Odin Warrior.
Oh, wow.
But again,
very
three, four, five of those were quest mages that I was just like, nope, and I just left.
Why bother?
My final boss was a Reno Even Warrior. So, like, people are definitely we'll talk about it a little bit later because it's one of the show discussion topics about, like, what it means to eliminate the bots. But it was definitely a bigger grind today. I played many more games, and I lost about 10 percentage points on my win rate or more. Something I think I probably ended up with, like, a 70% win rate, whereas I've been, like, low 80s in previous months. But, you know, it was a more varied ladder experience, and it was more authentic. And we should definitely get around to talking about that.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
So the news is mostly good. There are some valleys as well as peaks, but we'll start with a peak. And that is that the eliminating the bots has definitely transformed the wild meta.
Yeah.
And in a way that makes me real happy.
So this was, I took a little snippet of the Tempo Storm report where, Marty in the opening remarks, NHL fan, basically went through how like, okay, well, if you take all the bots out of wild and you start looking at the data, it's kind of amazing how it transforms which decks are considered good and which decks are just considered okay. And decks that we considered to be some of the best in the format, Reno Shaman, stuff like that, statistically start dropping. And stuff like Even Shaman, Pirate Rogue, Aggro Priest, and the deck we actually highlighted last week. No, I didn't pay TS for this. The deck we highlighted last week, Miracle Priest, or what I call KVLT Priest, is tier one. Tier one. Look at that. Metabreaker. And these are considered the tier one decks. They're effective. They're fast. They're aggressive. This is a sheep meta. And then just as a, like a little, just to toot my own horn a little bit, poquito. Well, before I do that, I'll toot sheep's horn a little bit. Top of tier two is Holy Wrath Paladin. I mean, you've been saying, hey, feels good. Hydra, you should play it. Right. And yeah, that's a deck that has been highlighted on this show in the past, within the past couple, you know, month or so.
And it's good.
Not only that, the next deck up, Skipper Warrior. Now they're highlighting the Bladed Gauntlet version, which is a deck I've talked about, I think, on here as just like, hey, here's a weird deck that you could try. Well, it turns out it's close to tier one. It's like low tier two. But Skipper Warrior also encompasses the deck that I play in the Tempest Storm report. They talk about how, like, oh, yeah, no, you're using Skipper and Armorsmith and basically either capitalizing on Bladed Gauntlet combos or Odin to farm the best, the tier one decks and aggro and move up from there. And right after that is Fatigue Seedlock. So, like, it's all decks that we've been sort of talking about that have been sort of around the fringe. And then it's a bunch of aggro decks that it's just like, yeah, this is stuff we play. So it was just very reaffirming to look at and just be like, oh, yeah, this show knows what it's talking about. That's kind of cool. And it is also kind of cool just to see, I don't know, it's just interesting to see that how the decks being reflect at least the experiences that I've had as far as like, well, this feels good. This doesn't feel as good. This looks good. I don't know about this. This seems like this is insulated by being at a high MMR, that sort of thing. So my climb was the most varied I've seen probably in years. It was probably a sprinkling of this plus stuff that you'd say is tier one. I'd like to note on this list, you don't see Even Warrior because Tempo Storm put Even Warrior way down in tier three.
Wow.
It's in theory not farming, I guess. It's a little worse into the control matchups, and it's not farming some of the aggro matchups as consistent, like Even Shaman, as consistently as something like Skipper Warrior would. Skipper Warrior has full access to Barov and other, you know, stuff that, and more draw, and like just like if you run out of gas, and that's kind of the feeling I've always had about Even Warrior. It's just like, okay, well, sometimes I have the stuff, but sometimes I don't. And also against control decks, Even Warrior can't really just do one big pop the way that one of the Skipper decks can. Like, I can just hit you for 59 out of nowhere. Once I get Odin down, I can hit you for 59. That doesn't really happen with Even Warrior. It's usually more like I'll hit you for 20. Next turn, I'll hit you for 15. Can you put up with that or not? So Even Warrior is way down at the bottom. Go ahead. What are you going to say, Sheep?
So the top eight that they're listing here, with the exception of Miracle Priest, which I want to get reps in, but, you know, I've
haven't yet. Yeah.
Haven't yet. It's on my list. The top eight with that one exception, I've got 200 plus games with every single one of those decks.
Wow.
And have had a blast with every one. So like, Shmoopy Daddy, you mentioned that this is a sheep meta at one point.
Smorky.
Yeah, this is totally my meta. Like, seven of the top eight decks I've played extensively. They're just so much fun. Even Shaman, not as much lately, just because I've had so many games of that in the past that I'm, you know, have been seeking a little bit more variety. But Even Shaman, Pirate Warrior, Aggro Priest, Holy Wrath Paladin, Skipper Warrior, Fatigue Questline Warlock, Mine Rogue, I have at least 200 games with all of those. Like,
wow,
so much fun.
The only one I really haven't played, other than I did do the Miracle Miracle Priest is fun. Nowhere near 200 games, I would say that, definitely. But I have not played, I never did play a lot of Mind Rogue because I've got this thing hardwired into me that if there's something I hate, I don't play it. So
sure.
I just haven't played Mind Rogue just because it wasn't something that made me happy. I mean, I'm sure the people that are winning are really happy.
Raxius got me onto that one, and being able to just like OTK someone with Renathal on turn four, turn five or six pretty consistently, feels pretty nice. But into an aggro lineup, I don't know that it's what I would be playing so much. Like, it can still win those games, but I'd be playing something else. Case in point, most of what I've been playing so far this season, it's the first, is Holy Wrath Paladin in Wild.
Yeah. I think I swapped at some point. At some point I swapped from, right, because I've seen the Reno Mages, I swapped from, excuse me, the Miracle Priest into, at first it was Pirate Rogue, because I was just like, I want to play some Pirate Rogue. And then I was like, I felt like I was gassing out a little bit. So I swapped to Shadow Priest, and like Shadow Priest into the Mind Rogues felt like free. Like it felt free. It was goofy. And in fact, Heaven's Door was spectating me in chat while I was doing that little section with like the Shadow Priest, and like I was queuing into Quest Mages and like decent opener, and they were conceding, or I'd be getting Mind Rogues down to 4 health on turn 5, and like, I've got a Thirsty Drifter up. You're either going to swing the weapon or you're not, buddy. Like, you know, it does feel like kind of a weakish option, especially after I suggested it to Shmoopy Mommy as a climbing deck last meta. And her performance was, she was doing okay with it, but at the same time, she was just like, it's not quite what I'm looking for. Whereas I guess, you know, I'm with you, Sheep. I can't really play even Shaman as a serious climb anymore because I start tilting when I feel like I'm limited by the reach of the deck or the options the deck has.
I haven't touched it in a while, in all honesty. I think there's been times where maybe I was close to a rank floor and I was like, oh, let's just play that because I know
that'll get you off the floor.
Yeah. Right. But it, in general, I haven't touched it in quite some time.
Yeah. I'd say with Mind Rogue, I'm about like 50-50 into aggro, be it Shadow Priest, Pirate Rogue, etc. You just have to play it differently, right? Like you're trading with a lot of the different bursts and things, because let's be real, your real burst is the combo, which deals 32, 35 if you get to swing the weapon face, right? So I'm about 50-50 into aggro with Mind Rogue, but 50-50 is not like a big climbing stat.
No.
So yeah, no, it eliminating the bots, it's worth saying, and we're going to talk about the bots elsewhere in Hearthstone later in the show, but like I think it's worth saying that like the eliminating the bots in Wild has made a difference. Have I seen some even Shaman bots still? Sure. But it has transformed the experience, and that's noted here, and I think interesting.
Agreed.
Well, moving on from the Wild meta report, we've got some new cards that will be in Wild as well as Standard very soon. And Shmoopy Daddy has guided us through a little bit of some of the highlights pertaining to Wild of the cards that have been revealed in the past week. So starting with Playhouse Giant, take it away, Mr. Daddy.
Sure. The Playhouse Giant sort of hit towards the end of the neutrals and kind of got Wild Circle sort of on fire. People were like, whoa, what deck does this go in? The initial, I think, knee-jerk reaction was, is this a Miracle Rogue deck? Another Giant for Miracle Rogue? And as people quickly pointed out, with Secret Passage not being drawn technically, and that's most of how you cycle through the deck, it makes this a little awkward. I'm still not convinced this won't be a one of in that list, especially because there's enough room in it where there's some flex spots where you say, well, maybe I run Zephyrus, maybe I run Hearthstone Brew, maybe I run blah, blah, blah. You're going to see somebody run Playhouse Giant. Worth mentioning, it's also a mech, so it can be reduced. For our audio listeners, I'm sorry. It's a 20-mana mech that is an 8-8 that costs one less for each card you have drawn this game.
And so, the first place that kind of comes to my mind for Playhouse Giant is the more giant version of Fatigue Questline Warlock. You know, because there's the like fatigue version and there's the kind of like giant version with the like 5/5 that's cheaper for damage that you take on your turn and flesh giant. And that whole deck just cycles like, whoa, like consistently. Yeah. Playhouse Giant feels like, honestly, I don't know that I'd like sub it in for flesh giant, but it seems like another like natural fit for that deck because it does cycle so heavily.
It might. Like, Flesh Giant is not always the easiest to get active, especially since it has some anti-synergy with the, oh my goodness, what's the card that I'm thinking of? The one drop.
The Kobold Librarian?
No, the one drop that swaps armor, health for armor.
Crystallizer.
Yeah, it has some anti-synergy with Crystallizer because once you put armor up and then you damage the armor, it's not actually discounting the Flesh Giant. So if now you just care about drawing cards, it's interesting. I hadn't even thought about Giant's Warlock because I thought this was too slow for that. But looking at it, I could possibly see somebody being like, let me sub this in for Flesh Giants and see how it goes. And it doing okay.
Do we know that it works when... So say you... technically draw a card, but it gets burned. I would assume it would not too, but I'm not entirely sure. Because like you're still drawing, but it's not technically you don't get it, but you still drew it. So I don't know.
It doesn't count as a draw for things like the Demon Hunter questline and stuff like that. So I don't think that it would count as a draw because instead of drawing it into your hand, it just kind of like... You don't draw it, you just toss it aside, essentially.
But it's interesting that you mentioned Questline DH, because I think that's this is definitely a nice fit for that. You draw a ton of cards, and you also run Gaslight Gatekeeper. So you can have a nice thick hand, and you can cycle that hand right back into your deck and also draw it right back. And you're drawing so many cards when you're doing that process without actually going all that deep in your deck that these can get pretty cheap pretty quick and pretty easily. And so that seems to be where I see some people going with it. Even hearing some people think about maybe chucking the Outcast package altogether just to just cycle harder and just work on, let's just do Brutes and Playhouse Giant, which is going to be an experiment people do, which is interesting. So this was like the first card I think that really made a splash that was interesting card worth highlighting, has wild implications. Because I have sort of generally written down from the neutrals here, most of the neutrals I saw this week looked like either busted and or good arena cards, like individual effects that are like neat, but maybe not having a whole lot of synergy. I didn't call up the card in mind for an image for Sheep to pull up, but like there's a 6-mana dragon, Divine Shield, Rush, Lifesteal. It's a 1/1. The battle cry says that it swaps stats with one of your opponent's minions. Is it just opponent? I forget if it was enemy minions or if it was any minion.
I think it's a minion, but I can't speak definitively.
Regardless, that effect in arena, like you have something big down, all of a sudden you're like a huge tempo, huge health swing. It's like, whoa, absolutely busted. Could get banned in arena because it's like it's that kind of feels bad kind of card. Mm-hmm. Are we ever going to play that in Wild Constructed?
No.
Maybe somebody does. Maybe somebody demented does because it's wild.
I mean, but somebody like... demented will find something to just like play around with in general. But like as far as immediate impact, no.
But it's a strong card. Like situationally, it's a strong card.
Situationally, it's a strong card. And like you were saying, in a vacuum, the effect is strong.
Yeah, Hydra.
Oh, no, just like there's going to be situations where you're discovering cards and you see this one and it's going to be the one you're going to want to grab. It's not something you're going to want to actually put into your 30 card list, but you get that chance to snag it in that perfect situation. You're going to take it every time. So
And do we maybe run it in like Reno Shutterwalk Shaman? Probably not, but like maybe.
Probably not, because you're making, then you're giving your opponent 6/6 in stats, because you're swapping that stat.
You're swapping it, but by that point, maybe, you know,
they're frozen
by turn nine. Yeah, they're it's frozen. It's turn nine or path. So maybe I may play around with it now. I may be that psychopath like Uriel is saying.
Yeah, of course. But I there's a bunch of cards like
Sheep
that are
demented
neutral.
Demented psychopath.
Who saw it coming?
Everyone.
This is a wild podcast. You have to be a little bit twisted to be on this thing. But
wild and wild adjacent, twisted.
Wild and wild adjacent. There you go. That seems to be like the theme of the neutrals to me, and it makes sense because it's the first expansion. The neutrals can't be too strong or too synergistic because it's first of a four set meta. If they're too dominant, they'll just overrun everything else. And things will get stale really quickly. We saw that when we had Castle of Nathria. Now, that was still a five-set meta, but the neutrals were so strong that the flavor of those neutrals basically overcame the entire set. It was all, do you have Brand?
Renathal,
do you have
Denathrius.
Theo? Yeah. Kale for a minute, and they're like, all right, we'll get rid of Kale Thos. Right? Who could have foreseen this? Right? But there are some other neutrals that stand out. Maybe not for Standard, but for us specifically. The next one I'd like to highlight is Treasure Distributor. Sheep is excited for this. It's a 1-mana pirate. It's a 1/2. And it says, after you summon a pirate, give it +1 attack. Now, we already have a card in rotation now that has given us some idea of how this would perform in Arms Dealer, which was only for undeads. But pirates are a much more common tribe than undeads in the wild format. Mm. And this card, Hydra, let's punt on the Hydra. Hydra, can you imagine some fantasy openers with this sucker on turn one?
Well, I know what Sheep wants to do, definitely. But honestly, this can slot into almost any pirate deck at this point because of the fact that it is a 1-mana pirate. We're always looking for really good 1-mana pirate for any deck, right? For our pirate, rogues, anything. I know druids and Sheep is just, I'm not even going to spoil it. I will let Sheep have it because he's drooling. So I will let Sheep talk about what he wants to do with this in druid.
So you know how I do my aggro druid. I'm an Embiggen enjoyer, like 586%. So Embiggen, maybe two of them. Treasure Distributor, Pairshoe Brigand, or two. Those are no longer 2/2s from your hand. Those are 3/2s from your hand. Patches comes from your deck. Maybe he's a 2/1. Maybe he's a 4/3. Maybe he's a 6/5. Like, it just makes the high roll even better. And that's exactly what I love about Aggro Druid in general. And this just increases the density of pirates. So it increases the possibility and the percentage of that high roll, as well as making that high roll even higher with that. After you summon a pirate, you give it +1 attack. It's 1-mana, 1/2 pirate. Good stats. Good effect. Good tribe. Like, what's not to love about this Treasure Distributor?
Can I point out something?
Yes, please.
They can't even, like, a lot of times you play a 1-mana pirate in wild and they have 1 health, right? So
yeah,
the enemy, whether it be a druid or a mage or a rogue, they can coin and they can kill it, right? Mm-hmm. This has the 2 health, so it's gonna most likely survive into the next turn and you're gonna get another proc off of it because of that health that it has. So best case, like Sheep's talking about, Embiggen is nuts. But even if you're playing this just in a pirate rogue where your Pairshoe Brigands come out and your Patches comes out, they're not going to be able to kill this on their turn. It'll survive into the next turn. You can get something else out. It's just if they can't kill it, it gets out of control, and this just makes the Fast X even faster, like right off the get-go.
And as is well established in this podcast, specifically with Shmoopy Daddy, nobody catches pirates.
Nobody catches pirates. So yeah, this looks like it's going to speed up and be sort of nasty in general in your fast pirate aggro decks. Which, honestly, if those are our aggro overlords and that's the best aggro deck in the format, I don't hate it. They're a little right? bit. It's a little bit more fragile than totems, and which unfortunately is going to be the theme of the next card that we have. Let's see the next one.
The next one is Sing Along Buddy, which is a 2-mana 1/4 mech. Your hero power triggers twice.
Right. So this is going to be a fun little card to slot in a whole lot of stuff. I think you slot this in Even Paladin, because now your Even Paladin is Odd Paladin. I think you slot this in. I think you slot this in all sorts of. You slot this in all sorts of even decks.
Uther Paladin.
Yes, there's actually there's a combo if you look at it. If you do Garrison Commander and Sing Along Buddy, now you have a serious combo in Wild because you can trigger the hero power twice and get all four horsemen in one turn. So
Raza Priest,
absolutely. Even Shaman.
Even DK,
sure. This is going to see, I think, a lot of play, especially because we do manipulate the hero power costs so often, and we do have even decks, even Hunter. This is going to see some play. This is going to see a lot of play. This is going to see a lot of experimentation. How effective it's going to be, we're going to have to see. But it looks cool. I can't wait to get my hands on it because this is the kind of thing where, like, deck builders are going to have fun, like, pairing this with Garrison Commander and seeing what we can do with it.
So, no lies, I missed this one whenever it was announced. So, I'm doubly glad that you mention it here because even DK, even Hunter, even Paladin, like, these are all decks that I've tried and had varying degrees of success with, specifically even DK. Like, I've had a lot of success with that. And Sing Along Buddy is just a natural fit there. And this looks like so much fun. 2-mana 1/4. That 4 health is super impactful because you want that persistent effect. Like, it's just fantastic. 4 health?
Like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. It'll get nerfed to 3 health. It'll get nerfed to 3 health.
Will it? It's gonna be unplayable in Standard.
And they typically nerf for Standard. Exactly. So will they nerf this? I kind of don't think so, because I don't think it's going to be a meta tyrant in our format to get the nerf. It'll be super strong in our format, but it's not going to be a meta tyrant in our format that'll get the nerf. Yeah. And they heavily nerf and balance in general around Standard, and this is not going to be a problem in Standard. So I think Sing Along Buddy's kind of here to stay, and I'm kind of here for it.
We'll see. We'll definitely see. If it's one of those cards that's in every deck and it's just everywhere, then I can see them touching it. But like you said, there is the good point that in Standard it may not actually be a problem because they don't have, you know, the whole Genin Baku sort of thing going on. So
I mean, it's
I guess time will tell. I think it's OP though.
I don't know if hero powering is, and I'm going to say this with Even Shaman being one of the best decks in the format, I really don't know if hero powering is necessarily the strongest use of mana in the Wild format at this point.
Oh, it definitely isn't. Hero power is kind of what you do when you don't have anything better to do. Unless your quest is to hero power or whatever it is, right? Like, you're not Even Shaman. Of course, you're hero powering every single turn. You want things like reduce your thing from below, all that sort of thing. Like, that is what you're doing. And if it's triggering twice, I guess it's going to summon more totems. Get that down, even the thing from below is even easier, right?
But even easier.
Traditionally, you're using your hero power when you have nothing really good in your hand. You're shoring up all your mana that sort of stuff. But I do think there are going to be some places where this is super strong. So it's that big butt that it's got. If they do touch it, I think they're just going to touch the butt.
I'm going to love it in Raza Priest. I'm going to love it in even Paladin, because those aren't decks that exist that are good. And so just like getting the opportunity to try it out and like dropping Sing Along Buddy and then dropping Void Touch Attendant and then like going from there. Yay. That's
Call to Arms, Hero Power. This will come out, Call to Arms. You can Hero Power.
Oh, yeah. Call to. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's perfect for even Paladin for that reason.
Evil Paladin. Yeah.
Well, Paladin got a couple of pretty interesting cards, including Painter's Virtue and Flash Sale.
Sure. So these two stuck out to me as being some of the stronger cards that were revealed today, Painter's Virtue, lifesteal after your hero attacks. It's a 4-mana 2/3 weapon that gives +1/+1 to your opponent's hand. To your hand, excuse me. No one would ever play that card. No. So it's buffing, your stuff. It's a 4-mana 2/3
weapon that buffs my opponent's hand.
I know. It's my derangement hours. My brain is going in the wrong direction.
Too much wild. It's all
too much wild. Too much wild. Too much playing wild.
If we didn't give you a hard time, we wouldn't be doing our jobs.
1,000% correct. Once again, giving hand buff Paladin more lifesteal. And we already have a bunch of deputization aura, which also sort of dovetails into why I really like Flash Sale as well. Flash Sale, summon a 1/2 mech with the Divine Shield and Taunt. Give your other minions +1/+2. I completely scuffed that. So basically the little Annoyotron stat line, just like send that to all the minions. And it says give your minions +1/+2. So the little robot that you summon, the little Annoyotron, is also going to get that buff.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It doesn't say
just
other.
Like Arbor Up. So you're looking at 4-mana, make a 2/4 Divine Shield Taunt while also buffing everything else on your board, while also sending that token. Again, if we're playing, let's assume that we're playing like Hand Buff Paladin or something like that. Sending the token to the far left of your stuff, right? Or no, to the right, so that it's not in the way of deputization aura. So it is actually the last thing down the line. This looks kind of good too, to me.
So in conjunction with Sing-Along Buddy in particular, Sing-Along Buddy is even. Both of these are 4-mana, also even. You know, I don't know that in even Paladin we'd necessarily play Painter's Virtue, but I think we might with Flash Sale, you know, because we've got Flash Sale, we've got Call to Arms, which is also 4-mana. So we Call to Arms on coin 3 or 4 if we're not on coin, and then we Flash Sale the next turn. I mean, that just seems good. Like a 2/4 plus, give all of your minions on board. +1/+2. That seems good. As long as you're like planning to go wide and Call to Arms. I don't know that Flash Sale is going to be played in standard. I think it will be. It could be in our format for people who are experimenting, like yours truly. And I've experimented with, you know, I've played around with some even Paladin in the past. And with these in particular, Flash Sale and Sing Along Buddy, like we talked about before, I think I'll experiment, play around with some even Paladin again in the future.
Yeah. I think since Paladin is shifting away from secrets and towards auras, Crusader's Aura is one of the, I think, probably the best cards Paladin has, period, right now.
Yep.
And so, actually, I think Flash Sale does a good job of making stuff stick, making those eggs stick that standard Paladin loves to play, and also lets them attack. But now you let them attack with Crusader's Aura up. I think it's going to see some standard play. But for our format, like you were saying, Call to Arms into Sing-Along Buddy or double Sing-Along Buddy, and then you're so playing your hero power. One's going to stick. You only need one. You don't need both, but one's going to stick. Hero power Flash Sale is a hell of a curve. Like you are really cooking with that. And then if you can get that stuff to stick and then throw up Crusader's Aura, now you're really cooking with gas.
Yep.
Spooky,
propane.
Spooky. Generally with Paladin, they're doing a lot of neat aura stuff. They're doing stuff like, hey, draw 3 mana, 2/4, draw, or 2/3, draw a minion with Divine Shield and an aura. Or your aura, you have 4 mana, 4/4. Your auras last for 1 turn longer.
And those are auras in play, in your hand, or in your deck. So if you discover an aura subsequent to that, it doesn't have it. But if you've got an aura anywhere in general in your deck, hand, play, it gets increased. And then, of course, the 7 mana aura, play a 6-drop. Last for 3 turns.
6-drop for free. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the auras have looked strong.
Those all seem like a lot of fun, and that particular aura more standard than our format, but like extend auras. If we're playing a ton of auras because they're like super duper strong, then maybe we play that in even Paladin, right? Because Call to Arms won't pull it out. It's a battle cry. We play Crusader's Aura. We play Flash Sale. Like, all of a sudden, we're like going for face for a ton. We're buffing stuff. I can see a road to, at the very least, like an experimental deck, if not like a meta deck.
Yeah.
It sounds super fun regardless. I want to try it even if it doesn't actually end up being meta. It just sounds a lot of fun to play with these new cards. They sound really powerful.
Yeah, it seems like at least the class cards that I've seen have at least seemed interesting. I don't know how strong they are yet, but they seem interesting and like I'd want to play them, and they're probably going to be serviceable because, again, it's an old myth that new cards don't impact wild. They break wild. Myth. It's that's ancient. Yeah. That's from like Rastakhan. Like that stuff.
The ancient now myth.
that doesn't. We absolutely get impacted by new cards, and we absolutely steal ideals from standard. And along those lines, I think I want to talk about. Let's do Warrior first.
Before we move on to Warrior, sure. Kind of a general thing regarding the signatures for the new set. So all of the signatures are Dr. Boomified versions of the characters. So the example that was given, Scott the Bot, quote tweeted Imic regarding Pipsy the Paint Hoof, which is not super interesting for our format, but a 7-mana 4/4 death rattle, summon a random Divine Shield, rush, and taunt minion from your deck. Not at all mech looking, but the signature card looks mechified. All of the signature cards look mechified. So Ridiculous Hat responded that all the sigs are Dr. Boomified versions of the characters, which I think is pretty cool flavor, especially since we have like a lot of Dr. Boom flavor archetype in Warrior, which is exactly what we're getting to. See the connection there?
And I'm not going to highlight any individual Warrior cards either. Like we got a Necrium Blade for Warrior with miniaturize, so you get like a 1/1 version of the weapon in your hand that you can break the weapon with. But I think without Snowfall Graveyard, it's kind of hard to abuse in Warrior. We do have
it's a standard card for sure.
Yeah, we have have some fun stuff. They printed a nice mech that goes along with it. I forget if it deals 8 damage or if it has taunt. It's like a better tonk, basically. It splits randomly. It wasn't a big enough deal for me to highlight it as a card individually, but just like we have some interesting Death Rattle synergy cards. We might play some Iron Juggernaut as a treat. Okay.
Ooh. I like Iron Juggernaut. I like treats.
Shuffle in a couple of, 10 mana bombs, turn off some Renos, have some fun with that. There's a
I love me some Iron Juggernaut. One of the best golden animations to this date still.
Agreed. Yes. Agreed. 100%. We got a fun 5-mana spell that deals your summons your highest cost minion from your hand and deals 5 damage to it, which puts Mechathune in Shield Shatter range. So, like, there's going to be some stuff in Warrior that we're going to cook. Is any of it outright powerful enough that I'm going to highlight it individually? No, but it looks fun and cool. And there's even some interesting, like, you know, I think it's either 2 or 3 mana draw 2 taunt minions, so more taunt tutoring. There's a really cool 2 mana spell I'm excited for. That's 2 mana, gain 6 armor. It costs 0 if you have no armor built up yet, which is a great way to enable Shield Shatter or mm-hmm. your stone skin armorers on curve. That's pretty good, right? Gain armor, draw 2 cards, play your 2/2. Like that seems like really strong in a card in a deck like Skipper Warrior. I think you find room for a card like that. So I didn't find anything like that just like jumping out like this is busted and wild in Warrior. So just generally, Warrior looks cool. We're gonna cook with Warrior.
Yeah, Warrior looks cool, and a lot of it is kind of death rattle mech stuff. And of course, we have the Dr. Boom hero in our format,
which can trigger its hero power twice now. By the way,
you can. And of course, that Dr. Boom hero has a persistent effect. And since it's a hero, it means it always happens going forward. All your mechs have rush, so if you're playing some like mech death rattle stuff, all of your mechs having rush is super duper relevant, because then you can trade on board in kind of the opposite of value trade in order to get those death rattles to go off, because those are pretty powerful death rattles. So death rattle mech warrior seems to be kind of what Standard is leaning towards. And with Dr. Boom, the hero in our format, I'm not going to say it's going to be good, but it's going to be something that like we can kind of play around with and kind of test the waters. And if they print, you know, a lot more things, particularly, you know, in this Standard year, you know, they've kind of laid the foundation for these death rattle mechs with this set. Potentially, we could have something going forward. This is, again, we've mentioned this in the past a few times with in Wild, it's more of an accumulation of things, right? This is we've got the Dr. Boom hero, we've got now these mech death rattle synergies, we've got like a lot of mechs in general. This is just kind of another layer if we continue to get some of those mech yeah, exactly, accelerator for 586%. So if we continue to get these kind of like mech death rattles in particular kind of pushed forward in this Standard year with this being the foundational set, or in subsequent sets, things don't rotate in our format. So this could this is something to look out for in the future in Wild.
100%. I love when there's a start of a new thing, really. Like if this creates its own sort of new archetype for us in Wild, that's very exciting. Very exciting, because I like to see the new things. The newest thing recently really being that priest that we talked about last week. Like that's super cool to me. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to introduce something like this and it gets built on and it's something that we actually see in our meta, love it.
The last class we got cards for was Druid.
Now D-R-U-I-D.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, spell.
Druid. It's the spell damage stuff. So, like, before we got the spell damage stuff, we got Ensmollen, which was, like, this weird 3-mana spell, reduce a minion's attack by 1, but also reduce its cost by 1. Which is like, it's like, well, how do we, I'm looking at it as like a, okay, well, how do we like design ramp into Druid without expressly doing ramp for the sake of doing ramp is how I kind of read the card. But it's like, if it costs less, it might be toxic. If it cost more, it'd be unplayable as is. It seems weird and unplayable. We got a weird tradable card that's like, if you play it, it refreshes mana crystals. It's a 2-mana 2/1, but like trading it ramps it up. But does it ramp it up by a mana crystal So when you're trading it, are you just mana neutral at this point until you play it? It's like, it's weird and slow and funky. And
That like wind up thing is something in general that they're pushing with this expansion that might possibly be relevant for Standard. I kind of don't think it will be. It seems even slow for that format, and that's the general reaction in like for there too.
In the Standard circles. Yeah,
so,
I haven't heard a lot from there.
What you're saying is we're all really confused as to what the heck Druid's doing with the stuff right now.
And well, we got a Jade Idol. We got a new Jade Idol that Geist can't get. It's a 1-mana 1/2.
Yeah, Jade. What is it? Statue. What is it called?
Jade Display. Death Rattle. Display. Shuffle 2 more copies in, but they get +1/+1. It's like, if it was Battle Cry, it'd be interesting for our format. Like Reddit too, will be like, here's the Jade Idol that can't get Geisted, and they're gonna put it in their decks, and they're gonna realize like, no, I have to kill that for that to work. I'm gonna leave it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. They're just weird, and I'm not gonna go into my review of the set that I posted on my Discord because it's not quite Born to Be Wild friendly. But I wasn't complimentary of those three cards.
I'm not either.
That being said,
and I love Druid, but I'm not complimentary of those cards at all.
Not subscribing to this these cards.
No.
All the stuff that Blister Guy revealed was really cool. The whole spell damage package. Sheep, do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because you were looking at the cards. Or Hydra, because you were watching the video.
Yeah. So in general, like there's a location, only costs one, with three durability that gives you +1 spell damage for that turn. That just seems like a Mally Druid kind of addition waiting to happen, especially if swipe actually does get discounted to three, which it looks like it will be.
I think it will.
I think it will too. In general, there's like Alonius, which is super cute. Like there's a whole lot of spell damage druid stuff that in Standard may or may not kind of culminate into a thing. But we've had Malygos Druid in Wild before, and this is just kind of another payoff and kind of another like contributing factor to Malygos, the type deck in Druid as well. So I'm curious to see both where that goes and if we're again that kind of building upon thing that we were talking about, that this is yet another thing that Druid has like access to. Maybe eventually we cut Mally from Mally Druid and it's just like spell damage Druid, right?
Yeah, we just do it with imps or something like that. I mean, we also got, it's worth noting, amongst the new cards that was revealed, and again, if you haven't seen Blister Guy's video, go check it out.
It's incredible.
On Twitter. It's good. We got a 4-mana draw 2, but the cost of that card is reduced by 1 for each spell damage you have. And we have Shattered Reflections. So, like, we have a lot of minions, oh, my goodness. We got the imp, the 3-mana 0/7 imp. Trickster? Street Trickster.
Yeah,
Street Trickster.
We can print Street Tricksters all day in our format. Sure, let's do it. And you've got these payoffs where you're drawing cards or you're playing a spell. It's a 3-mana spell, and for like each damage that it deals, it reduces the mana of the next card that you play. Like, you've got some like really intriguing cards that kind of dovetail into this spell damage package that really good players in Wild aren't sure what the heck you're supposed to do with them yet. But that being said, they're kind of doing weird, powerful things. So I'm of the mind that it's almost like a stand, like hold and wait and see what Standard does with them, and see if or what the Chinese community does with it, and like just see what kind of weird stuff pops up, and then just enjoy. Because like I don't think it's good enough that it's going to be a meta tyrant, but it's intriguing enough that it could be good.
I think that in our format in Wild, as Sheep said, we have had Mally Druid before, but it's been a while, right? So it's something that's sort of come and gone, sort of, you know, gets forgotten about. But if it if it pops up again, I think it's, it hasn't been around. It hasn't been a tyrant. It's been a long time. And maybe it's just been long enough that I'm not salty anymore. But I could regret saying this, but I'd be okay with it coming back. You can totally come back and quote me on saying that I'm okay with it, because I may change my mind. But I think it's been long enough that if we get a Mally Druid, that I'd be okay with it. And you know what? I would play it. And then maybe I can get some of my druid wins, because
you still want those druid wins.
It's
your great white whale.
Not too happy when I've died to Mally Druid, and I want to do that to somebody. I want to make someone else suffer.
Where are you at with ranked druid wins right now, Hydra?
So I just checked. I'm not logged into Hearthstone right now. It's like 294 or something. Like, it's not even 300. Yeah.
We can totally get you there just with Aggro Druid, like, today. But not today.
Thousands of wins in this game of Hearthstone, and my Druid hasn't even cracked 300. Yeah, it's funny.
That's insane.
Yeah, because I hated Druid when the game like came out. It wasn't something I wanted to play. I lost to it a lot, and I was like, screw that stupid class. And I just never played it.
You would love Aggro Druid. With the new card, you would love Aggro Druid even more. Like, that is your play pattern.
My only real wins with the deck were like Token Druid, right?
Right,
Yeah.
You didn't like me. That's how long ago it was.
Yes, that was from you. But in all honesty, I have probably the same amount of wins with Druid on Asia and EU. Right? Because that deck was so cheap. It was like commons and rares, right?
So Hydra, that was Forged in the Barrens.
Yeah.
That was the beginning. That was the first day of Forged in the Barrens.
That's basically where my only Druid wins came from. It's been years. Yeah, that's where my Druid wins come from. And not a lot. But like I said, I played on all three servers, so it does add up to probably like 700 wins maybe total. But
I mean, you'd have a golden hero power at least.
I would, but I don't. I don't.
That's amazing. No. All right. Is it a personal quest for the Born to Be Wild community to just start like feeding Hydra just like druid lists?
Druid decks. Like,
play this. Give this a shot.
Actually, but I will say, in the beginning, before I did do the token druid, I did have a bunch of wins in the past from the whole Yashiraj big druid. That existed. Maybe the first like 100-ish wins were probably from that. That was the only other druid deck I enjoyed. Barnes into Yashiraj. I'm so old.
I'm so old. I'm sheep.
That one sort of dates me, I suppose. It was a fun deck.
So anyway, that's druid. Hey sheep, how's the twist launch?
A funny question. So the twist launch has been fraught. So, for example, Ben Hearthstone tweeted yesterday on February 29th, twist format, new season starts in March, missing some legacy set cards, FYI. So in the recognized issues post on the official Hearthstone forums, it said, you know, added 229 again yesterday from time of recording. Some cards from the legacy set are missing from the twist eligible cards pool. The team is investigating the issue. So essentially, if it was initially a basic card, it was valid. If it wasn't initially a basic card, but it was a quote-unquote expert card, or added subsequent to that, it was not in the card pool. So Savannah Hymane was not there. Ragnaros rude. Was not there.
Also there rude.
Were a, right? There was a lot missing. A lot missing from the legacy portion of that. It was kind of fixed around like noonish mountain time today.
Mountain time.
Another issue that was going on around then was that some people were using some hack exploits. It wasn't just native to the browser, the client, but some people were playing with last season's restrictions instead of this season's restrictions.
That's the biggest rude one, because that is completely intentional. The other stuff is just, you know, coding issues, whatever, a bug. But this is just malicious, in all honesty. And why would you do that? Really? Like, if you think about it, you really want to get banned? You really want to lose? Yeah, but you're going to lose your cards. You're going to lose your account. I do not understand why anyone would have a valid account and use a hack or load a bot if it's like your valid.
Because you're 14 and it's fun.
You've stolen dad's credit card and that's how you bought all your packs. But it's,
oh no, the consequences of my actions.
It's insane to me. If you started a new account and you decided you were going to try this because you're having fun, whatever. I don't condone or endorse it, but I don't want to be rude, but you got to rethink some things. If you've got an account with a collection and you're going to use a hack like this, it's insanity.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But I think a lot of the people doing it did not have a collection for a long time. And so this is just sort of borrowed money. It's like, start again.
Yeah. Yeah. I was largely positive, because the team was working on this, which is evident in the fact that it has already been fixed. I was positive about that because they were actively working towards it. But to speak candidly and not, I mean, I'm speaking to the devs who listen. Hi. But you know, while they're working on it, I don't want to be a jerk. But this was disappointing. I woke up around 1 a.m. my time. Partially because, you know, it's like Christmas, you know, new format, especially this format, where things change every day. And it was super disappointing. I'm playing with basic cards. I'm not playing with the, what was intended. Right. There was so much that was missing. And it was fixed around noon ish. Mountain time today. For those of you who are not in the NA time zones, that was pretty late in the day one meta for you. And the day one meta was only Legacy, which is the only format that was affected by this glitch. And I understand that things slip through the cracks, but it's a big old but. This is a pretty big one. Couldn't play with even a third of the cards that should have been available in this version of Twist. I mean, I love Twist. Twist is with the last meta notwithstanding, Twist is super fun. Twist is my primary game mode, truthfully. It's what I go to both to have fun and to climb, because I'm having fun and I just want to play more, whether I'm in Legend or not. Typically I hit Legend and then it's time to goof around. And in Twist, it's I'm not just goofing around. I'm trying to find things that work. I'm trying to find things, refine things. I'm trying to find things that are fun and good and winning. And this took a lot of the wind out of my sails, because I really want Twist to just be good and to be consistent and for people to play it and people to have fun and to increase the player base. And this just seemed like a thing that is kind of antithetical to all of that, especially in a format that is F2P unfriendly, free to play unfriendly in general, you know, like Legacy, who has that? People have been playing for a long time. Who has like Leeroy, and not just like a core version of Leeroy, but a Legacy version of Leeroy. Not a ton of folks. I mean, like people who are playing Wild, probably, but maybe not.
Maybe, you know? Maybe not. Like, when was the last time you saw Leeroy in a list? Pirate Rogue in Sunken City? Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm old.
I think one of the misses here really is that this new Twist format that is constantly evolving every day was a real, and still can be, chance to show off this format, to really spotlight it, have streamers play your format, and everybody watch and think, hey, that's cool, I want to hop in there, right? And then right out of the gate, a bit of a dumpster fire, right? So that's the disappointing part for me, is if we want to, if I don't want a 12-minute queue time like I was talking about before, then this was the chance, right? And I don't think it's too late. Like, stuff happens, right? So day one, half the day sort of shot. Hopefully that's not going to really end it for everybody. And let's go into day two. Well, Asia and EU at this point, day two is already up. So hopefully everything's good. Next out. Yeah. Hopefully everything's good with Nax going on over there. And then we can be fine. But yeah, sort of a bit of a hiccup in the beginning. Hopefully it didn't turn too many people off. I'm super excited. You got to know that as soon as this episode is over, I'm going to be trying to squeeze in.
We're like 14 forms of Twist down the road by the time that the episode. No, I mean that as like a joke. It's just like, it's like multiple parts have come out at that point, right? I think a bigger theme and kind of to mirror, I think, Sheep's disappointment is it's getting to the point where if Twist was an employee, you start talking about whether or not the employee is still employed at the business that you're working at, right? Because we've had enough. It's not that we don't like Twist. The devs can schedule balance when they can schedule balance. That's really pretty structured and on a timetable and not something they can really change all that much.
Right.
But it's not necessarily conducive to an active Twist balance. I think that's fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
For how often it typically has needed it in the past. and so
I'm laughing at Ari more.
Ari more Twist needs to get a performance improvement plan.
That's great, Armorn.
I think Armorn just made our episode title for us. Great. I like Twist as having Twist as an employee. I have enjoyed Twist. I actually, unlike Sheep, enjoyed Last Meta. The reason why I stopped playing Last Meta is by the time I was like queuing up after I'd done everything else I wanted to do, I was stuck with queues that were so long it wasn't worth. It just wasn't worth it for me to keep queuing in. I was like, I need to get like ranked games in. I'm interested in hitting 400 level 400 on the pass. I can't be waiting 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes in a dead format to get a game. Because I did enjoy the meta, and I thought it was very simplistic. And maybe I would have enjoyed this pre-patch meta, where apparently it was dubbed by some as the lowest power level Hearthstone ever. I'm sure it's somebody's cup of tea.
So I kind of enjoyed it too. Like
tempo minions, trade, when do you go face, very basics focused.
And priest, like aggro priest, not shadow priest, but aggro priest was like the tier one deck It was super fun because you had the Crimson Clergy, you had Northshire Cleric. Both of those were included in this. So you had draw and you had draw and you had ways to buff your draw. You had Divine Spirit. You didn't have Inner Fire because of the glitch, but you had ways to buff things. You had ways to like draw. You had ways to like play board and draw by playing board. And it was fun. I wish it was intentional.
Yeah.
Because it was fun.
Yeah.
And if it was intentional there and fun, then I would have no complaints about that, truthfully.
But it's like, it's their fourth time they're late to work this week because they had to bring their cat to the hospital or something like that. And like, you like them when they're in the office, but like there keeps being these little stumbles with Twist that keeps kind of like self-sabotaging Twist. And this, unfortunately, it's worth saying, it's worth mentioning because this is, you know, I think we're an honest podcast. This was kind of like the cherry on the icing on the cake in this situation. And we also don't like piling on, right? Like I am so excited. I'm honestly excited to play through some metas that I never got to experience firsthand. Yeah. I'm not excited for today because I played Classic. And mostly what I enjoyed about Classic was beating the bots in Classic. I did not really enjoy full Classic because I sucked at Classic. So I'll try next tomorrow. But
pile on.
I think that's, I'd also
that's a couple
like
days down the road.
A couple days down the road. I'd love to re-experience some of these metas, though I don't know how necessarily authentic that is with some of the buffs that we've got, but that's a different discussion altogether. But I want to see Twist succeed. But it's still at a point where I don't know, Sheep. What grade would you give Twist right now? As far as like as the enthusiast, what grade would you give Twist performance right now as a game mode? Though it has the option to get better.
It has the option to get better. Right now I'd give it a C. Like it's passing, but just barely. It's not a C minus, you know. It's not a D plus. It's, you know, 75, 76, maybe 77.
And I hope they keep it going. I hope it's a long-term project, right? That they keep experimenting and like hiccups or no. Maybe it becomes a meme. Maybe Twist is just a disaster for the end of time because it's their sandbox, and this is where they're experimenting, and that's okay.
But as long as they don't delete it like duels.
Yeah, and honestly, that's like this season, this week of Tavern Brawl. This week of Tavern Brawl is a meme because like it was super solved super early, and you know what? I already have double-digit wins. Tom Carter, friend of the show, already has over 100 wins.
It's insane.
That's insane.
Play the Tavern Brawl.
Yeah.
Play the Tavern Brawl.
It's so much fun. It's a blast.
Win on turn one. It's not even Yu-Gi-Oh.
You can. I have. I have won on turn one, not on the coin. I've won on turn one, not on the coin. It's possible. It's super fun. With the Tavern Brawl is anticipated to be 1 week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to say that someone like Tom Carter has over 100 wins shows they did something right. They are happy people. Right?
And I'm super happy with this Tavern Brawl. Super happy.
I almost never play more than one win into Tavern Brawl. There's
one
been
done.
A couple times where I was like, that was cool, and I did it again. These are very rare times.
Let's mention for the people listening what the Tavern Brawl is. I'm sorry. Like it's all minions are 1-mana 1/1s. They aren't in your deck, but once they enter the field of play, once they enter your hand, once they enter there's an aura, they become 1-mana 1/1. So they have the same effect, but they're 1-mana 1/1s. And essentially the deck that Tom gave me, that Sheep then snagged from my stream and started
playing.
And
I have 24 wins with that and one with another. So I have 25 wins with this Tavern Brawl. It's super fun.
It is like a turbo version of Alex Rogue, where essentially if you draw your whether it's Malygos, there's a couple different minions, but like essentially Malygos gets you all your spells, and your spells are coins and shadow steps. And if you have your curator draws beast, murloc, dragon. Oh, hey, there's my Alex. There's my spirit of the shark. My spirit of the shark. Oh, yeah. Remember when they tagged that with this beast tag? Yeah. So you drop that down. You've got all your spells from Malygos. So you have not only your shadow steps, but also your shadow of demise. So you have three shadow steps, double battle cries, and you've got an Alex. Just go face. So, as long as you get your order right. So like it's really goofy. And you get some people who are teching in like Boomfistle Bully or Azalina or like just like goofy kind of stuff where it's like, yeah, it's just sort of like a, it's just, if you're a wild player and you enjoy wild, go find the Tavern Brawl. I think we've posted go to the Discord. We've posted the list in the Discord.
It's a glimpse into the future of wild.
I mean, kind of.
If they give
it's
up,
a blast.
If they give up,
it's
yes.
It's super OTK. It's super quick. It's super fun. It's kind of high rolly, but like, again, like you said, glimpse into the future of wild, question mark.
It's not Yu-Gi-Oh. Fun. It's not Yu-Gi-Oh, no. Because in Yu-Gi-Oh, there are hand traps. In Yu-Gi-Oh, again, we learned on a previous, or I learned because I was ignorant to the fact that you can actually interact with your opponent on your turn, on their turn, so that you could stop them from doing these things. But that we don't have that luxury in Hearthstone. So it's just, sometimes it's fun to just pop off on turn one and just win and just be like, sorry, I rolled the nuts. Like, it makes a great highlight reel. You get that dopamine rush. It's pretty sick. So I don't know.
Well, obviously it's a hit, right?
Yes. Yes, it is a hit.
How many times have you played it yourself, Shmoopy Daddy? Did you?
I'm like, up to...
He's got 25 wins.
So I did a stream, I think it was Wednesday. I did a stream where I was just like, oh, new Tavern Brawl came out. I guess I'll do Viridex and maybe some Brawl. And it turned into, like, I'd say probably half hour viewer decks and, like, 2 hours and 15 or 2 hours and 30 minutes of Brawl. Or just,
oh,
I was
my
just
gosh.
Playing, I was just spamming the Brawl. And, like, even when I was playing the viewer decks, I was just like, I don't know, chat. I kind of want to go play some more Tavern Brawl.
That's and, like, amazing. Said no one ever. Like,
and somebody...
I just want to go play some more Tavern Brawl.
It's the kind of brawl where, like, you'd watch Corb play it, right when Corb was streaming a little bit more regularly, and Corbett would pick it up, and Corbett would be like, "Can we cook this a little more? Can we make this a little faster? Can we do this a little better?" And then he'd keep playing. He's like, he'd be like, "I can't believe I'm queuing up a Tavern Brawl for the 30th time." But that's kind of like. That happens to us sometimes in Tavern Brawl, where you just get this Tavern Brawl that just, like, it speaks to wild players, and it's just, like, you know, the siren's call of, like, chase the turn one OTK. Your opponent can't do anything. Make sure you emote. It's just, it's a lot of fun, and it makes some great highlights. Like, if you're a content creator, I'm maybe like half a content creator. I just enjoy streaming, but and I'm not serious about posting in my stuff. But you look at a highlight, you're like, oh, that looked cool. He played a bunch of cards and his opponent blew up. Like, that's good content.
I saw someone, I don't know who posted it on Twitter, but somebody posted a video from it, and the comments were like, oh my gosh, how broken is wild though? This is insane. And then there's subsequent comments underneath going, you know, chill. This is just a Tavern Brawl.
This is a standard. It's just Tavern Brawl. Yeah.
It's okay. But I don't mean to talk any shade on Tavern Brawl. Like, oh, just one and done. You know, like, well, that's what we do because we want the card pack. And we usually play ranked, right, on this podcast. And a lot of people that listen do. And we like to know what are the best decks and everything like that. But there is an audience, obviously, for Tavern Brawl out there. Because it still exists, right? It's one of the oldest modes in the game, and it's still there. So it's definitely a thing, and there's got to be casual people that just love popping into the brawl and playing it. Like,
And it has its own MMR system. I think Tom's queues are up to like 5 or 10 minutes. At some point, somebody was just like,
when he's got 100 wins, yeah.
Somebody was just like, you're just queuing into people who want a free pack. And I'm like, this dude's playing Boom Crystal Bully and Druid. No, he knows what he's doing. I'm going to get him anyway. Like, you don't realize it, but like, when you're queuing up your first Tavern Brawl, you're probably, I'm not going to say that you are, because again, the longer you sit in queue, the more lenient the system gets to allow you to queue into somebody else. But like, I was queuing into, you know, I was queuing into people that knew what they were doing. And but I mean, listen, you're a little disparaging of Tavern Brawl. I think that's fair, because can we say the Tavern Brawl's on maintenance mode for the most part? Like, it's kind of like, I mean, it's,
yeah.
Yeah, you get ones where it's like, this is the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th time we've had this Tavern Brawl.
Just sort of set and forget.
I don't keep track of it enough anymore, in all honesty, to know when we got a new one. Right?
Well, it's on the front page again, and it glows on Wednesday, the first time you log in after they've changed it.
And thank you for putting it back on the front page instead of not in modes. When it disappeared from the front page,
yes.
In all honesty, I'm probably missing a year's worth of packs because I didn't play it. Right,
like I'm missing some, not a year's worth for sure. I missed some, but not a year's worth.
I just, oh yeah, Tavern Brawl exists. Let's go. Like, someone tell me. I don't click that button anymore. The only time I would remember is that maybe I was bored and wanted to do some solo content or try out a new deck.
Oh,
I
yeah,
never tried, so I was going to play
it
against the innkeeper, and I'd see it there. I'm like, I can get a pack. Idiot.
And meanwhile, that free stuff used to be like my biggest drive in the game. Oh man, I can get a pack here. And like, I used to love Tavern Brawl and stuff like that, which is why I love the events that they do now. For the same reason, it's just like, oh wow, look at all this free value I'm getting. Look at all this free stuff I'm getting. And so it's like having that hidden is scary. Sorry, should we? Your name is Sheep. Sheep, what were you going to say?
Hi. So, friend of the show and developer, DeckTech was trying to complete a quest the other day. And I was playing a lot of Tavern Brawl. DeckTech wanted to spec a win to complete a quest. My queue times were such that I had a 69-point-something% win rate. I had 25 wins. I lost enough to get down to that 69% win rate. DeckTech ended up stopping specking me because my queues were so long because of the background MMR. And he just couldn't, like, it was 5, 6, 7 minutes before.
Was he timing
I could actually
out?
Find, yeah, I was timing out. I stopped and it was like, oh, you disconnected. I hadn't disconnected. I was speaking within, like, not just Battle.net, but straight up in the client with DeckTech.
Oh, that's funny. Aramorn says, did he log bug? That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. I'm not going to lie. Are we going to talk a little bots tonight?
We should talk some bots. So bots in Hearthstone, the class frequency discussion via the Vicious Syndicate report. Deck frequency data now includes the Asia server, but not because the bot problem in Hearthstone has been alleviated. It's because the America server has become almost as bad. So there's little point excluding one of the servers. It does make the ladder climb much easier for the average Hearthstone deck, but the botting plague might be the most serious problem currently facing the game.
This is standard,
by the
way.
We noticed the most recent ban wave, but bans need to come in more frequently and at a bigger scale for this issue to be dealt with effectively. Again, like Shmoopy Daddy mentioned, this is standard. This is like Unholy DK. Wow.
Well, it's funny. So I hit Standard Legend late last month. And so I made my climb. I happened to see a I guess you'd call it a dig rogue or a diggy diggy rogue or a diggy diggy hole rogue. I don't know if you like the song.
I do.
It's a good one.
That Ron Mexico was playing, and I took the list and I flew up. And notably, what I noticed was once I passed Diamond 5, like I hit I was in Diamond 6. Once I hit Diamond 5, there is a noticeable bot belt from Diamond 5 to Diamond 3. Literally, if I cracked Diamond 3, I queued a human. If I lost, dropped down to Diamond 4, I was back queuing into a bot. And the two decks that I saw the most often that were botted were Mech Rogue and Pirate Rogue. What?
Interesting. Because the, especially in Standard, the like meme, the thematic bot is not Plague Decay, but Unholy Death Knight.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And they were very, like, I mean it. It was the cadence. Mm-hmm. It was misplaying cards. The mech rogues typically just went face. And so they would like tempo out cards, but they wouldn't value them at all. Like, so they'd tempo out, three mana, 2/5, Inventor Boy, do a gadget or something like that. Like, they'd chuck him out there. They wouldn't try to get value. They would just chuck him out there. And if he stuck and he made a bunch of face damage, they'd point all the Mimiron. Thank you, Azalea in chat. And if he made a bunch of face damage, they'd point it all face. But like, it wasn't bad play from a human. It was like empty headed play from a bot. And ditto with the pirate rogue. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this looks exactly like a wild pirate. I know what a bot looks like. I play wild. Okay.
Yeah.
I can sniff like, out a bot.
When you say it's a bot, I don't have any questions because I know you know what a bot looks like.
That looks like bot-like behavior. But it was just so bizarre that it was just so localized in this band between Diamond 4 and Diamond 5. And then, like, again, like, you got one win out of it. Like, you were out of it. And then you lost, you were back in it. And then you won, you were out of it. And, like, you were going to win because it was a bot. So, like, I was like, you know, I did a little yo-yo around D3. But if that's my experience late in the month, and I'm a decent player. I had 9X, and I was climbing up. If that's my experience, I can't imagine, like, a less experienced player trying to climb Standard. We all know Standard's a more popular format. If Standard, I'm not going to say it's as bad as Wild, right? I'm not going to say it's as bad as Wild. If Standard is approaching how bad Wild was with the Even Shaman bots, that's really bad for the game. That's
really bad for the game.
Really, really
bad. I've seen a lot more than usual from Standard players talking about it on Twitter. Guy Grumpy had posted, like, oh, this is sweet. Like, I'm just versing all these bots. Like, my climb was easy, right? But people are seeing different...
It's a living.
People are seeing different bot belts, right? Like, you're saying that you saw it in a certain zone, Shmoopy Daddy, but then other people are seeing it maybe up until then, and then it goes away kind of thing. Well, I don't know.
It'll move up. Like, as the month goes on, it should move
it's
up.
It's
got to
be the wave.
All queuing into
like,
each other.
Maybe the wave is all like moving, or maybe you're not quite in that MMR, that you're not riding the wave, you're a little behind, and you're popping into the wave and out of the wave, possibly.
Sure.
Not the best surfer, you're not staying with it.
Nope.
Just got to get a little head of the wave, I don't know, or just ride it.
I can barely swim high, drive, play wild.
Ride the whip.
But yeah, it's definitely way more prevalent than it was before, and Standard is feeling it now the way that we would feel it in Wild. There was a point in time when I was playing on Asia, and it was just the warrior bots were over and over and over and over again. And I was like, when am I going to play a human? Right. And the games were long, and it was frustrating because it was one of those armor up, rope your turn style bots. And that just drove me crazy. And then it wasn't even really hitting NA at that point in time. And it made its way. And then now it's in Standard. It's like a virus.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always been there to some extent. Like, I have, through no fault of my own, found myself down at Silver MMR, and it's amazing how many bots you find at Silver that are just, they're not even like a hero, like they're not even a hero power pass. They're just a pass. They're just like, they queue up, they just queue up, and they're not even like, there's like the, just the lowest effort bot possible. And I report everyone that I see, but like Silver 10, I actually haven't, last time I've been down there, I didn't see too many of them. Maybe they got caught up in the ban wave, but like,
probably
you'll see them.
Those are like beta bots. Somebody's like testing their programming.
Oh yeah. 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 Well, but again, if I'm allowed to just deviate ever so slightly, my favorite bot story was this tax paladin that used to play wild called Pure Luck. And Pure Luck was a top 200 bot, mostly because Pure Luck was playing taxes paladin and would just play at secrets. There was no rhyme or reason behind when it would play at secrets, but you'd still watch people try to play around them. It's like, oh, wait, I got to play around. Oh, my God. I got to play around this. I got to play around that. And they wouldn't. And like, you know, they try to play around the secret and it wouldn't be Oh My Yogg. It'd be something different because it's a bot. It's not strategically thinking about anything. It's just executing a program. I have mana. Let's spend it. And yeah. I watched Pure Luck play it like top 200, top 100 on streams like Get Me Out, Corbett. Well, I run into Pure Luck later when the human takes over. The human tanked it down to like rank 2,500. I'm like, I know you. I've seen you. You're still playing Taxes Paladin, right? And it's like, you took over your account and you tanked your account. What were you? Just let the bot play. The bot's clearly better.
Bot was it's clearly insane. Better than you are.
The bot's doing great. I mean, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't eat. He just queues up infinite games. But, like, you're clearly throwing. Like, if you've tanked that much in that amount of time, it's just like, man, you don't know what's going on at all. You probably got up there and just like, what? This is far and away worse than that, where, again, you have a bunch of accounts. And it's not all necessarily to gain value for the account to get cards back. We have to keep in mind these are accounts that a big cultural thing. I'm not saying all these bots are coming from the Chinese community. But a big cultural thing in China is to...
He is.
I'm saying it is a contributing factor because we had plenty of bots on NA before they came over. But in general, it's more accepted by that community base than it is from the Western community base. It's more prevalent. Just cheating in general. It's just more widely accepted or at least tolerated. Not necessarily like tabooed. I would say it's not tabooed as hard as it is in the Western societies. Hi, holy crap. All that said, one thing that a lot of these counts are doing are basically looking for like this like golden arena run. So like you start a bot account, right? And you bought it and you gain gold from it. And then you draft an arena draft. It sucks. You trash it. You do it again. This one's insane. This arena draft is insane. You sell it to a streamer. You sell it to a CN streamer because these arena streamers, it's a lot more, it's like an event there. It's arena, it's not just sort of a side game mode that's sort of the backwater of Hearthstone. No. It's in the forefront for the Chinese community. So you sell that your account and that arena run to that streamer. They stream the run, right? They own the account now because they paid you for it. They didn't pay you a lot for it. It was free when you made it. They discard the account. Rinse, repeat. And different individuals will make several of these accounts and rinse, repeat, and rinse, repeat. And again, how do you gain the most gold, the most experience, the most whatever, progress on the track? You do it by botting ladder. So you can almost argue that a lot of these accounts that we do see on ladder, they might not even be trying to build up their collection. They're mostly trying to turn some sort of a profit from the game. And there's this sort of sub-economy that is attached to the economy of the game.
Sounds like you really know how this works, Shmoopy Daddy.
Yes. But you see, I've played too much Wild to know how to bot anything. My brain is like Swiss cheese.
I kid.
You could play me like a piccolo if you blew in my ear. Woo!
I'm not going to blow into your ear.
This seems like a good place to go for unrelated advice.
Unrelated advice with Electric Sheep City.
Okay, sheep. I need you to take this very seriously right now. I'm a groundhog. Okay. How do I know it's spring? Like, what speaks to you as, like, you go outside and you say, oh, wow, this is spring? Not, like, the typical things, like, oh, I see. Like, what really is the experience for you that tells you, hey, this is spring? Because I know I have that moment.
It's college baseball, which is, at this point, well and truly underway. It's temperatures in the 60s to 70s, like throughout the day, which it was today.
See, if I asked Hydra, it'd be like parkas or something. I don't know. I know when I start hearing like songbirds, like when I start recognizing some bird calls outside, I'm like, oh, okay, it's morning and the birds are chirping. Spring's coming. Spring's
See,
coming.
You're either more observant than I am, or
Wild's taking even more of a hold of me, and I'm like, the angels are speaking.
Good answer.
The greasy feather angels.
This question.
Yeah, so well, how do you know in spring?
So my wife insists that we sleep with the window open even during the winter, right?
Sure.
So our room gets freezing.
Yeah.
But we just put covers on, right? And so that's she likes it, like the cold outside the covers and the warm under.
I've slept that way. I like that way too.
The rest of the house is warm. It's just like our bedroom is frozen, right?
Sure.
I know that spring is coming when I'm no longer freezing my ass off. It's basically
wiser words have never been spoken. And you heard that on
More to be Wild.